Nurse Eclectic. And I've brought this up before in past podcasts. The Oedipus complex, and I can't remember what they call the female one, but it's a similar situation that happened in Greek mythology. But there's a female and a male, and the male is called the Oedipus, and that is when you are younger. Freud coined this phrase, but it was also something that was seen in Greek mythology. When you are younger and before you are autonomous, or before you get older and you realize that your father is your rival, that sort of thing, you fall in love with your mother if you're a boy, you fall in love with your father if you're a girl. But then, of course, once you get to a certain level in your growth, you realize that this isn't right, you know. You also realize that your parent is otherwise engaged with someone else, you know, and that it's not right for you to be interested in your parent, and you break that off. Well, there are some people who don't really break that off. And there's been other articles and other things that I've seen about how if someone's parent abandons them, then they get an overly dependent feeling towards the parent who stayed. So, you know, if you're a boy and your dad leaves, you're going to be overly dependent on your mom of the opposite sex. Vice versa, if your mom leaves and your dad stays, and then a girl would probably be overly dependent on her father. Yes, there's no separation because there's not another partner there. That's what they're saying. That's what Freud is saying. But I read an article after doing all the Oedipus stuff and figuring out, you know, you look around and everybody's dating somebody who looks like their father, or dating someone who looks like their mother, or even their opposite sex friends look a lot like their mother or father. And you start going, this is weird. Why is this happening? Like, is it because you want to screw your mom? Is it because you want to screw your dad? I mean, what goes on in people's heads when they pick someone who looks and acts like their parent? It's the weirdest thing, and I see it happening all the time. It's really odd. Or, you know, I've met guys who were dating someone and they finally found the one, right? And I meet the one, and it's and that girl is standing next to his sister, and they look like they could be sisters. Creepy. you're like they look so much like, well, because they look like their parents, right? So why would you want to bring in someone who looked like you? Not to mention that might be a genetic mix-up somewhere along the line, and you may have problems having children together. You may actually be related if you look that much alike. So I've been dealing with that a lot, looking at people and thinking, oh my god, why are they, you know, why are they dating this person? It looks like their mother. Like, a prime example of that is in the news, Keanu Reeves takes his mom places with him sometimes. She was a single mom. His dad took off, right? So he takes his mom to a lot of things, takes her on dates places, which I think is weird. I'm sorry, but I just think that's weird. And so then when he went out with his current girlfriend, because she looks so much like his mother, like almost dead on, people were getting confused whether he was with his mother or whether he was with his girlfriend, because they look so much alike. You know, they're both thin, tall, flat chested, no butt, gray hair, short. They do look a lot alike. He chose someone who looked like his mother. Here's a guy who's not been serious with anybody his whole life, and when he finally gets a long-term girlfriend that he brings out in the public, you know, this celebrity brings into the public, she looked just like his mom. It's just too weird to me. It's just too weird. So he transitioned from his mom being the woman in his life, to now this is the woman in his life who looks just like his mom. So that's when this all started coming up for me. It was like, oh my gosh, and I have friends who their boyfriends or their husbands look exactly like their fathers or their dead fathers. You know, it's weird. It's just too weird. Or I'm watching guys who are dating people who look just like their mom, and then they start choosing female friends that look like their mom. It's just weird. So, okay. This article is from Psychology Today, and it says, why your partner may be like your parent. Ah! Now, they're talking personality-wise, I hope. Is your childhood wrecking your romantic life? Okay. Here are some of the reasons that you could be choosing these people, which is unhealthy. That's what I'm getting the gist here of, because I've never dated anybody who looked like my parents, acted like my parents. Yeah. Okay. Perhaps nothing is as disheartening as a discovery after years of trying to escape from your dysfunctional childhood that you have actually managed to recreate it. So they're saying recreate this, and you're recreating all this in your own relationships. One woman, the daughter of a hypocritical and demanding mother, recently talked with me about her recently ended 2-decade-long marriage. This is a therapist that is writing this, I would take. I still have issues with feeling capable and doing things right. Unfortunately, I married my mother. She says she married someone like a mother. And was never able to feel competent in my husband's eyes either. I also never really felt loved by him in the same way I didn't feel loved by my mother. So she had this dysfunctional, screwed up relationship with her mother. But she was in it for so long that she ended up choosing somebody that was just like her mother. Oh, God. A man emailed me recently with similar concerns. On the surface, my wife and my mother have nothing in common. My wife is petite and blonde, well-educated, polished, and sophisticated. My brunette and big-boned mother is none of those things. But they both criticize me constantly. Nothing I ever did was good enough for my mother because my older brother was perfect. My wife rules the roost with a dissatisfied look on her face, which is depressing and familiar. How can you end up marrying your mother or your father if, on a conscious level, you've been on the run from her or him? The answers has everything to do with attachment theory and unconscious mental models. A body of psychology research suggests that our easiest relationships, especially with our mother, and can influence how we are able to connect to other adults or others as adults in romantic and other contexts, but also create internalized scripts of working models of how relationships work. So internally, what you think and how you feel, this is why you get attracted to these people. Briefly, securely attached children with loving and consistent attuned mothers may grow up to be adults who see themselves positively, are comfortable seeking out close relationships, and depending on others, and don't worry about being alone or being rejected. So that's somebody who grew up with a healthy parenting experience, right? Insecurely attached children of inconsistent, attentive, and attuned mothers may develop anxious or ambivalent attachments, while those who have neglectful and hostile mothers may be avoidantly attached. According to the work of Kim Bartholomew, anxiously attached people will be preoccupied in relationships. They have a negative view of themselves and look to others to validate them. They are needy and demanding in a relationship, and they move from one romance to another. We had talked about that in the serial monogamy podcast I did. Avoidant attachment yields two different separate behaviors, fearful and dismissing. Fearful avoidants have a negative self-image, but are also passive and dependent. They actually want intimacy, but they are also desperately afraid of being hurt and distrust others. Fearful avoidance are the hardest category of an insecure people to partner with because they send out mixed signals. The dismissing avoidant has a more positive self-image, but would also agree with the following statements. I am comfortable without close emotional relationships. It is very important to me to feel independent and self-sufficient, and I prefer not to depend on others and have others depend on me. As human beings, we are drawn on an unconscious level toward the familiar. For a securely attached individual whose primary connections have taught her that people are loving, dependable, and trustworthy, this is just dandy. But for those of us who are insecure, attached to familiar can be dangerous territory. A study by Glenn Glitter suggests that we do tend to choose a romantic partner who's similar to our opposite sex parent. In his research, he not only asked participants to self-report on how their romantic partners were like their opposite sex parent across various categories, he actually interviewed the parents as well. The shared characteristics he discovered between his subjects' partners and their opposite sex parents were robust. Nonetheless, to say when romantic partners were like parents in good ways, relationship satisfaction was relatively high. When the similarities were related to negative characteristics, however, relationship satisfaction was relatively low. When we meet someone new, it's not just our unconscious models that are in the room or at the bar. There are conscious assessments, too. So the question remains, how do we end up marrying Mom if she's been critical, unavailable, and unloving? That's exactly what Claudia Brumbar and Chris Fraley asked. How do insecurely attached people attract mates? After all, we all want a securely attached partner, one who's emotionally available, loving, supportive, dependable, not an insecure or clingy one, or someone who's detached and uncommunicative. How do we get roped in? The researchers suggest that what happens is a combination of misreadings by one partner and a fair amount of strategizing and even disassembling by the insecure partner. They point out that anxiously attaching to people may seem fascinating at first. The preoccupation may easily be confused with self-disclosure and openness, which facilitates a sense of connection. Similarly, an avoidant person may come across as independent and strong. In a series of experiments, the team discovered that the avoidants, despite the fact that they don't want emotional connection, actually made a lot of eye contact and used touch more than securely unattached people to seem more appealing in a dating situation. Avoidants appear to use humor in dating situations to create a sense of sharing and detract from their essential aloofness. Our working models of relationships may not only shape how we act, but also how we remember acting. They actually skew in our recall. And Jeff Sisson and his colleagues discovered this, which could make it eventually even harder to get along when the work models of two romantic partners are different. After measuring the attachment orientation of each individual, Simpson's team had each member of the couple identify a significant conflict in the relationship and choose one from each list, had the couple engage in a conflict resolution discussion, which was then videotaped. Right after discussion, each person rated how supportive or emotionally distant he or she had been. They were then asked the same question 1 week later. What the researchers found was that the more distress there was in the conflict discussion, the more activated the individual's working model seemed to become. For example, in avoiding people, if they were relatively distressed during the discussion, rated themselves as being less supportive and when they remembered the discussion than they had said they were initially. What people respond to in a relationship, the researchers surmise, is memories of the interaction filtered through their working models. The research explains why it is that if we have indeed partnered with someone whose internalized scripts are very different from our own, the discord is likely to be endless, with little resolution in sight without some kind of intervention. It is especially true, in fact, if you were married, let's see, it is especially true if, in fact, you married your mother. So, if somebody married their mother. Woof, it's kind of deep. But yeah, I've just thought there was really something really curious that I have noticed, you know, people are, rarely attached to their parents, and then they end up marrying their parents. Okay, there's another article here. It's, who will you marry? Opposite sex parents influence you. So, let's see what this one says. Influence you to find sexually attractive via facial features, personality traits. So, this is what I'm talking about. These people look like their parents. So, they are saying you're attracted to someone who looks like your parents. Sexual imprinting and biology explain why we're attracted to partners that resemble our parents. Many of us are familiar with this feeling. We go on a blind date, grab dinner and drinks, and in between laughs and smiles, we feel instantly connected to this total stranger, like we've known them for years. After a few dates, we begin to feel so comfortable around him or her. We wonder how we fell so hard and fast for someone we just met. Maybe we really have known him all of our life. He reminds us of our parents. We all have a type, whether we know it or not. The physical attributes and personality traits we're instinctively attracted to are deep-rooted in the relationships we have with the people who raised us. Similar to animals such as birds, mammals, and fish, we learn what a suitable mate looks like based on the appearance of our parents. As human beings, we move toward the familiar with potential partners based on our primary connection since birth. I can tell you nobody's looked like anybody in my family that I have dated. None. Zero. Zilch. So, I don't know, that doesn't sound right to me. Science also agrees, we're more likely to marry someone similar to our opposite sex parent, like spouse. Gender roles are modeled in early childhood. We learn that unstated rules exist between men and women from our opposite sex parents. Our parents teach us their own personal version of these rules, whether positive or negative. I find that people tend to date partners with similar traits to their opposite gender parents because they internalize their parents' behavior and demeanor as the foundation of their concept for male or female. It's the quality of exposure or modeling that matters, not the quantity. That's the self-aware handbook. Questions such as is this parent possessive and smothering, anxious or calm, abusive or nurturing, stunning or neglectful, stifling or supportive of growth, influence what the child will look for in a future mate. For example, personality and individual differences found people who report more positive childhood relationships with a parent are more likely to be attracted to partners who resemble that parent. Ooh, that's a little sick. The subconscious desire to be with someone similar to our parent is seen in animals too, including birds, mammals, and fish. A new study, Nature found sheep raised by goat mothers preferred the company of goats over sheep as adults and vice versa. In 2004, a study was done. Noted that the phenomenon is also seen in people who were adopted. The researchers found adopted women tended to choose husbands who looked like their adoptive fathers. The effect may be modified by the quality of the father-daughter relationship during childhood. Daughters who received more emotional support from their adoptive father were more likely to choose men similar to their father than those whose father provided a less supportive emotional environment. So, yeah, okay. A mother's influence. A mother has the power to influence how both her male and female children view intimate relationships. They learn rules, and the first relationship we have in the world is our mother or our guardian. They influence the subconscious attraction we develop towards a potential partner, also known as object relations, the theory diverging from psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud, this is what I was talking about before, belief that humans are motivated by a sexual aggressive drives, emphasizes interpersonal relationships primary in the family and especially between mother and child. The idea is the first relationship for the infant that comes into the world is the mother, the one who feeds originally or most frequently the one who breastfeeds. It is how the mother relates and responds to the infant that sets the tone for the type of partner or he or she was grow to be attracted to. For example, when we're in a committed relationship, we're more likely to repeat the relationship repertoire we learned from our mother. We repeat both the behaviors she modeled for us and how we were conditioned to behave in relation to our mother. In men, mothers influence the type of woman, both physically and personality-wise, their sons are drawn to. Oh, that's disturbing. In women, it is the tone the mother sets in marriage and home with her spouse that will impact what they consider normal or acceptable behavior. If a mother stays in an abusive relationship with a husband, her kids will learn it's okay to deal with this kind of behavior. Abusive consequences, those with negative childhood relationships may subconsciously seek abusive relationships in the adulthood, right? To right the adults wrong. Freud theorized, we continue to be attracted to the same negative experiences because we want to revisit the scene of the crime and resolve our parent-child issues in an intimate relationship, but we're not aware we're doing it. For example, a girl with a busy father who was not that emotional may be drawn to a man whose love has to be earned or deserved. The same concept can be applied to boys, too. A boy with an overbearing mother may find that he has to walk on eggshells around his partner to avoid being yelled at. The theory of repetition compulsion explains why some people choose mates that resemble their parents as a means to make amends for an unhappy childhood. Many people are drawn to abusive types because they're familiar. Sometimes you'll find yourself or others choosing a type who is abusive or an addicted philanderer because it's what they know from their family origin and it's what they are used to. That's scary. We think we'll be able to heal this way, but truthfully, we're no more equipped to deal with the situation than when we were as a child. This is because we are not making any positive efforts to get to the root of the problem via psychotherapy or other alternatives. Instead, we're going back to the same type of, you know, toxic relationship in hopes that it will be better the next time around. All right, the next one is sexual imprinting, and this is a Harvard researchers say that our brain actually takes note of two main characteristics, first race and gender. They found different patterns of activation in the brain region called fusiform face area, or FFA for short, when participants viewed black and white faces and female male faces. This manifests itself when we choose a partner. 2006, in this journal, observed we often pick partners who are members of the same ethnic group as our opposite sex. In mixed race marriages among partners who had divorced and remarried, 2/3 of the time people picked partners with the same ethnicity of their opposite gender parent, despite how many times they got married. This suggests if we spend a lot of time being exposed to a particular kind of male-female face, it is embedding in our psyche, making us more likely to favor physical traits too. Whether it's tall, dark, and muscular, or short, fair, and slight, we're all automatically drawn to a type. Eventually, these preferences are reflected in the people we date and associate with our daily basis. Subconsciously, we develop a physical attraction for those who resemble our parents since they are the first face we see as infants. Faces that are similar to those of our parents are classified in our minds as familiar and nurturing. Attraction to parental traits has been noted in several studies. For example, researchers found we're drawn to self-similar characteristics and opposite gender parent traits. These features were found to be positive correlation with the participants' acting partner characteristics for both men and women. For example, a boy of a brown-eyed, brunette-haired woman is more likely to date a brown-haired brunette woman himself. Men are more likely to choose women who resemble their partners. Previously researched has delved into this phenomenon by comparing more than 300 facial photographs of family members and controls. Judges were instructed to match wives to their mother-in-law to determine if there is any resemblance between the two women. The findings revealed there was a higher degree of similarity seen between the husband's mother and the husband's wife than between the husband and their wives. The degree of facial similarity is also focused on different areas of the face. Depending on the gender, women are more likely to look for similarities to their fathers in centers of men's faces, while men look for similarities to their mothers in the lips and the jaws of potential partners. The subconscious preference for a partner that resembles our opposite sex parent physical features could also be a biological response. The biological impulse. Researchers suggest that this could be driven by an impulse to pass on our genes. A 2009 study proceeding with the Royal Society found we use our opposite sex parents as a template for partner selecting. A love interest whose looks similar to a parent helps us promote our own genes without committing incest. Huh. Promote our own genes? Because they're closely related to us? I don't get that. Interestingly, even the hairiness of a woman's father can correlate positively with that of their significant other. It suggests a woman's preference in relation to male hairiness may partially be due to the result of a sexual imprint of paternal body hair. Researchers also theorize this preference could be inheritable. The biological impulses for preserving our genes is also reflected in the height of our partner. A Japanese study found sexual imprinting influences our preference and body height for those we date. And women and males with a similar height to a father, especially if he's tall, will ensure potential offspring or children will possess this trait and therefore be better equipped for survival. We see exaggerated traits that connect to our parents, and these can be physical characteristics and also be a way of behaving that relates to how our parents acted. Marrying a parent, the verdict. Oh my goodness. So they're saying if somebody is like your parent. So are we likely to marry our parents? Not necessarily. Parents who want to show their children a good example need to work on their marriage, and adults who have had poor examples in childhood will have to work hard to avoid the same mistakes. If you want very badly to have a different and better relationship than the ones you grew up with, you can accomplish that if you go about it very consciously. Ideally, our parents should act as role models for when men and women are alike. We develop habitual ways of relating to parents that we're used to, and then we relate like this to other people. Warford Swan's parents have the power for better for worse to influence their child's preferences. This starts at an early age. So yeah. Have a weekly date night and daily time with your spouse. The foundation of your family is built upon the bricks and mortar of your marital relationships. This is from the self-aware parent. If you do find the love of your life, you may want to send a thank you card to your grandparents or perhaps your great therapist. I don't know. It's a little weird to me that people are doing this and that they actually do marry people who look like their parents. And, you know, I guess in some areas the ethnicity is the same. So it might be easy to find those kind of people that look like your parents because they might be related long-term way away, but still. But yeah, so there you go. They're saying that it's hardwired in us sometimes to find people who look and act like our parents. But I don't think that I ever have, to be honest with you. I might have. I may not know that. But I've never been with anyone who looks like my dad or even acts like my dad. Most of the guys I've been with have been kind of quiet. My dad was very gregarious. So maybe that's my mom. I don't know. It's weird. But have you noticed that in your life? Have you noticed your friends that are, you know, their girlfriends look like their moms or their boyfriends look like their dads? If you've noticed that, maybe that's a podcast we can do together. Maybe we can talk about that. Maybe we can get a few people on who've had that experience, because it's kind of weird to me. Let me know. Till next time.